Delighted to welcome to the Goal Zone on a Monday night, Nick Eastwood, the Chief Exec of the Wasps. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, welcome to the area. How have Wasps settled into the Rico?
Well, it's been amazing so far. The one thing I have to say, and I said over and over again, that the welcome we've had from the Coventry people, the West Midlands community, has just taken us aback. We could not have been made more welcome. Everybody wishes us a success, and everybody offers to help us in any way they can. So we're absolutely thrilled with how we settled in.
You've invested a lot of money, haven't you? And let's be fair, a lot of money in getting the Rico. Why?
Because, well, if we start with where we started from, mm-hmm. we basically had to move. We could not have survived where we were. It didn't give us the business and commercial platform that you mm-hmm. need to run a successful team. It does all start and end with what goes on in the field. And once we'd taken that decision to move, then the Rico was by far and away the best option. I mean, in a nutshell, it's a world-class stadium, world-class facilities, it's a fantastic rugby area, an amazing support from all of the everybody who'd been involved with. You put those three things together, and it was a pretty easy decision in the end.
And the stupid thing is, it was empty. For a and, while, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it was there, and it was used. Available, and yeah. you know, it was in many ways, it was a gift.
So does that move? Because I read somewhere that you were under a bit of pressure financially. Does this secure you financially?
It doesn't provide us the immediate security. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, you don't flick a switch overnight.
Of
but
course.
What it gives you is the commercial platform and the financial platform to get to financial mm. security in a relatively short period of time. And one of the things that all owners of football clubs and rugby clubs, they're always looking for, well, how can I see an end mm. to the financial drain on my resources? And acquiring the Rico meant that we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and the light's pretty close to where we are now.
So how have the fans reacted? Because you're London and Wickham based fans. How have they reacted to having to travel to the Rico?
Well, it's a bit of a misnomer we're a London club. London mm-hmm. was in the name for quite a long time.
It was the London Wasps for a while, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. Although the Wasps were formed in 1867 and London didn't come into the name until mm-hmm. 1999, I think. So it was very, very late. So effectively, we always say we have always been Wasps and always will be Wasps. But we had been in High Wycombe since mm-hmm. For about 12 years. Now, High Wycombe's actually in the middle of Buckinghamshire, so it's not London by any stretch mm-hmm. of the imagination. So we haven't been a London club, we've been a High Wycombe club. To answer your question specifically, when it was first announced, obviously there was quite a lot of discontent with mm-hmm. fans, with a lot of anger, frustration, a lot of surprise. Now, that was partly caused by the fact that because of the extreme confidentiality about the the negotiations, we couldn't say anything to the fans. Once we got through that and we explained what the reality would have been if we'd stayed where we were, and we explained what a massive opportunity Rico was, then they actually started to come round. And I think the BT Sport ran a poll and within the first 24 hours it was 25% for, 75% against. I think after 72 hours, pretty much 2 or 3 days later, that had flipped round because the fans understood.
Yeah.
And if you gave the fans, do you want a club but it's in a different place, or do you want it to go?
Yeah.
No fan's ever going to say the latter.
Mm. So, I mean, obviously, Coventry City, it's synonymous with Coventry City, the stadium.
Yeah.
So how is that relationship with Coventry City, and with them eventually moving, as they keep saying they're going to move to a new stadium, how will that affect you?
Well, if we talk about the relationship first, mm-hmm. I mean, all through the negotiations and the discussions with the council, they made it absolutely clear it was a requirement that we had to allow the Sky Blues to continue to play there.
Right.
But I've said to a number of people, it didn't need to be a requirement. I mean, it's a no-brainer as far as that we're concerned. One of the things we said, one of our aspirations, one of the things we want to do is to make the Rico the most successful multi-use venue in the country. Mm-hmm. We only play 16 home games. The sort of winter sports season is pretty much from September, football now's August, through till getting into May. There are about 40 weeks in that.
Mm.
Well, why do we just want to shut it down
exactly.
for the other 24 weeks? It's a no-brainer to want the football club. Yeah. So we really want the Sky Blues to be there. We want them to stay. We want them to be successful. We've said to them we'll do anything we can to make them successful. Now, at the end of the day, none of our players can kick around ball. Actually, one can, but the rest of it, and you wouldn't want them to try. You could line them up across the goal mouth, and that might help. So there's a limit to what we can do. But we want to be good partners. We want to be, you know, good landlords. Mm. We want to help them to get the club back to where virtually everybody in Coventry wants it to be. Mm. As to their plans to build a new stadium, I can't comment on that. If that's what they want to do, then that's what they want to do.
You're happy for them to be there. I know that training ground's been on the agenda. How close are you to getting that sorted? Because that's important, I would have thought.
It is, because that's what the players...
That's their workplace, isn't it?
That's their workplace. Yeah. They play in the stadium 2 hours a week. They spend 30 hours a week at the training ground. Yeah, we're working with the council on identifying a site. We've gone down to a couple of sites. We want to move on from that. The objective is to move in mid-2016. Which does seem quite a long way away, but clearly you can't move mid-season because A, it's very disruptive to the players. B, some of the older players have children in school, so they need they need plenty of time to get them into the new schools. So that's what we're trying to do. We said to the players, we want to build the best rugby training facility in the country. That's our plans, and once we've made that promise, we need to deliver it. And again, that's what really attracts players, really top quality facilities where they spend most of their working week.
I was going to say, Tom, regarding the players, you know, the travelling for them, would that be a problem?
Well, I've got that to ask. I was going to say, travelling, you know, back problems, hamstring problems, if you're sitting in a car going to a game all that distance, is that going to be a problem? Well, or are they going to relocate?
Well, some of them, quite a few of them, live in and around the High Wycombe area. So if you take Matt Mullen, who's an England player, an England prop, he lives in Marlow. Now, actually, trying to get from Marlow into West London to arrive about 8:45 as opposed to go from Marlow, reverse commute to wherever the training centre, it's probably an easy journey for them. Clearly, the players who live in central London, that might be a problem. But actually, most of them, you know, you say to a player, do you want to, with all due respect to High Wycombe, do you want to play in a fourth division football stadium, or do you want to play in a world-class arena?
Absolutely.
You know, that's an easy, it's an easy question for them to answer.
You brought forward the relaying of the pitch, I see. What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, I think everybody knows, it's no secret in around the area, the pitch was not in a great state. It was largely caused by the fact that it was covered during the summer for an event, probably it was played on too quickly. Having said that, it is what it is. We had specialists brought in, agronomists, who in your and I terms are, you know, turf specialists, and they pretty much said...
Gardeners.
Well, no, to be fair, I mean, it all looked quite straightforward, but it's not a lot more
science. We've seen that with football. It's such a fundamental part of the business now.
Absolutely. And they pretty much said they don't think you could play both codes on it, and it might not stand up. So to us, again, it was a decision we had to take, but it helps the football club, obviously, and it provides a surface that both clubs can be proud of, because the last thing we wanted to have got this far and then end up the pitch just wasn't suitable for the rest of the season.
Have you had talks with the Coventry Rugby Club? Because they were a big club at one time.
They were a huge club. I mean, I've talked to a number of people that when I was at school, which I have to say was a long, long time ago, and I'm not going to tell you how long.
Tell me about it.
I went to school in the Midlands, I actually went to school in Loughborough. And our big games were all against the Coventry and the Birmingham. So our big games were Bab Lake, Henry VIII, King Edward VI, Warwick, Bishop Veazey's. They were
big rugby schools.
Big rugby schools, big rugby areas. Mm. I know a few friends from the past who had played elite rugby, they played at Coventry, said that was a place you never wanted to go. Cowden Road, you never wanted 20,000 fans screaming at you. You got your head kicked in and then you got sent packing. So, you know, we were acutely aware of the immense tradition of rugby in Coventry, as represented by Coventry Rugby Club. One of my great heroes was David Duckham.
Yeah.
So we've had a number of conversations with them. Again, we have the fully intention to have a really strong partnership. That can only really start happening when we come to the area in the training ground, because a lot of the partnership is around sharing players, coaching. Well, that's difficult if you're 2 hours apart. It's okay if you're 20 minutes apart.
One of the other things, Nick, I wanted to specifically speak about was you did say when you first arrived that you weren't just bringing a rugby club. You wanted to get involved in the community.
Yeah.
How far are you down that road?
Well, we've only scratched the surface, but we've we've scratched it in a sort of fairly major way, if you see what I mean. Mm-hmm. We've visited about 50 schools so far. So we've had players out, we've had ex-players, we've had some of our academy players out in schools. 50 schools, probably actually up to 55. Most of them being in state, that's primary schools, secondary schools, non-rugby playing schools, rugby playing schools. So we had a fantastic reception there. We started dialogue with the two universities in the area, or the two major universities around the area. I visited a hospice this morning, the Mighton Hospice in Coventry, which is everything. Now, so we've only just started that. I mean, the thing I would say is, you know, we want to be the club of the community and for the community. And that means, I think, envisioning the relationship beyond rugby, maybe even beyond physical exercise. We want to be known as good citizens and to be helping the community, for the community to be proud of us and to represent that. It's very much a long-term vision. It's very much a long-term aspiration. But we're determined to fulfil that.
One, I would imagine as well that, you know, rugby being what it is, and you being now a massive club in this area, that fans from, you're looking, fans from all over the Midlands are going to head towards you, one would imagine.
We hope so. I think, I don't think we're going to convert Tigers diehards or Saints diehards.
That'll be your big derby, the Battle of the M69.
Well, we've been told that when we play Leicester, we're going to have 10,000 people who've never seen a rugby match in their entire lives, because if they can come along just to watch Coventry beat Leicester at anything, even if it's tiddlywinks, they'll come and watch it. So, yeah, so that, I mean, another thing, it produces two massive derby games, and we happen to be playing Leicester the last game of the season, which will make a big family day. And I happen to think that there'll be something quite big riding on it, because I think we'll both be in the mix, you know, in the top half of the table, whether that's for the top level of the European or even potentially for playoffs. Dyle kill me if he ever heard that, because he tends to try and downplay expectations.
Obviously, the managing expectations is big in any sport, isn't it?
Absolutely. But to answer your question, Tom, I mean, the West Midlands is a massive rugby area, and we'd love to become the club, you know, of this in this patch, you know, with all due respect to Worcester and Leicester and Northampton, who we know are wonderful clubs, wonderful heritage, and have done great things in the area.
Not everybody's totally happy. Worcester Warriors, of course, are a little bit concerned about the academy and, you know, perhaps you getting the better of the youngsters, whereas they've had the pick because they were a massive, well, still are a massive club.
They are,
Worcester Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, on the academy specifically, that's actually a quite straightforward question to answer, because the academy areas are, well, the academies are operated under licence from the RFU, I think, like the FA academies are. And your academy area is defined in that licence, and you've got to stick where you've got to. So our academy area is Oxfordshire, Buckinghamshire and Middlesex, and we will absolutely stick within that until we're told otherwise.
OK, so that, there's no need to worry. But obviously Worcester, it could be it could make this, with Worcester, if Worcester can get themselves back to where they were, and Leicester and you, this could be quite a rugby area.
Absolutely. Well, as I say, when I was at school, you know, this was a big rugby
Moseley,
area.
Moseley, of course, you had Moseley.
I mean, Moseley were one of the big clubs. It was tragedy what happened to them.
Birmingham and Solihull.
Correct.
Of course, was
absolutely
massive at Portway. Yeah.
So there's huge potential, you know, inherent support for rugby in this area. I think people in this area love all sports, you know, the same as Warwickshire Cricket Club, fantastic club. So, you know, hopefully it just generates local rivalries and greater interest, and all that feeds in on itself.
What about your aims? What this season particularly, what is your aim? I mean, will, for example, being at the Rico, will you be able to get better players, do you think?
Well, the recruitment window in rugby is slightly different for football. You typically, the recruitment window is January, February, March for the following season. So, you know, we're starting to think about the recruitment for next season. Of course, we'll be playing next season, but we won't move the training ground till the following season afterwards. Yeah. So, yeah, there's no doubt about it. In the player recruitment market, represented by agents in the agent market, you know, us acquiring the Rico has made a major, major statement about what our aspirations are and what the club stands for. So it can only help.
So what are your aims this season? Where do you expect to be? I know you're, I think you're lying, are you seventh at the moment? Seventh?
Yes.
You're seventh in the Premier Premiership and
it's very
third
tight
in your European group.
Yeah, it's very tight. I mean, we tend not to set targets. I mean, a lot of clubs, I think, set artificial targets.
Yeah.
And then if they don't make them, they don't do anything about it, which actually begs the question, why did you do it in the first place? All we ever say is we want to improve on previous season.
Yeah.
Now, we came seventh last season, so that means actually, obviously, sixth or higher. I personally think will probably do better than that. Di would kill me if he heard it, because he sort of tends to downplay it. But I think we might be in the mix slightly higher than that. Europe's a difficult one because we lost our two games. If we're going to qualify for the quarterfinals, we're going to have to win our next two. That's a tough ask, but nothing's impossible.
And London Irish this Saturday then, and you've already got a massive crowd. It's going to be a wonderful occasion.
It is going to be a fantastic occasion. The stadium's going to be packed. We've got tons of stuff going for families. So the Jaguar Hall, we've got bands playing in there. We've got Jake Quickenden. We've got life ice sculpting. We've got dodgems. We've got food and drink. It's going to be great for everybody, friends and families. We've got a kids' area downstairs. We've got jugglers. We've got anyway. I'll stop selling it. But anybody who wants to come who hasn't bought a ticket, you're going to have a great day
and
out.
And 11th in the table, it must be a great chance for a win. It'd be a great way to start positive with a win.
That's where it's the glass half full or is half empty. I always think, oh God. They haven't won for a long time, so we're going to get a bounce back. Surely it's not going to be up. So they're a good team, London Irish. I personally think they're underperforming.
It's going to be tougher than the league table suggests.
And at some point they're going to actually catch up to where they should be potential wise. So I think it'll be a tough game. You know, if we can win, it would be fantastic.
Put your money on Andy Good to be the man of the match.
Local lad
is going to be buzzing.
I'm told actually that Shane Geraghty, the Irish fly half, is also. I think they come from rival schools, so it's going to be
right.
It's Cov versus Cov at number 10. So yeah,
but Goody's a couple in the sim bin there for certain. Yeah.
I've actually played football with Andy Good.
Have you?
Is he any good?
Yeah, not really.
As good as you are at rugby.
Yeah.
Nick, thanks very much indeed for being with us. It's been absolutely brilliant. Good luck at the weekend. We're football barmy, but it's great to have any major sport in this area. It can only make us stronger.
Well, thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
And we look forward to seeing you again.
Absolutely, I'd love it.